Hi, I'm Harriet Thomas, and this is There's a Walk for That. A few years ago, I went looking for adventure. What I actually found was the end of years of back pain, a body that finally fit my clothes again, and something I never expected, a personal wellness sanctuary right outside my door. I'm not a doctor or a fitness expert, just someone who discovered a daily habit that revitalized my health, my emotions, and even my sense of purpose. From easing stress to shrinking your waistline, there really is a walk for that. Join me as I explore the power of walking with inspiring guests and offer tips to help you make walking a fun, transformative part of your day. And you'll get to enjoy our trail mix, three songs chosen by my guest that reflects their attitude to life and passion for walking. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking to Hugh Asher, a forest bathing guide and forest therapist whose work bridges nature connection, physical and mental health, and recovery from addiction. Hugh is the founder of Forest Healing and a pioneer in using nature-based practices to support well-being, including innovative work that brings forest therapy into places you might least expect, like prisons and residential rehab settings. Today, we're talking about how nature can heal us and how we can rebuild a healthier relationship with the natural world in return. So thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show.
No, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, it's really, really great to meet you. You know, I'd love to hear about your work and about how you got into the work that you do now.
So there are kind of two strands to it. I run my own company, which is now called Forest Healing, which is a nod towards how forests and nature can support our health and well-being, but also really how we can support the forests, if that makes some sense. So it's a little bit about reciprocity and trying not to fall into the trap of mining nature for its health benefits. So quite a lot of what I do is about trying to engage people with nature, support them to connect with nature, discover the benefits, but also to appreciate nature more. And you know, increasingly, certainly since the Industrial Revolution, we have been, as a race, exploiters of nature rather than living and working in partnership with it. And I think we need to move much more back towards a sustainable and healthy relationship with nature. So that's where the name comes from, really. And I do a combination of one-to-one work, guided forest bathing activities, and I sell quite a lot of resources. Some of them are things that are standalone things that help you get benefits from nature. And some of it is about, whilst I think that guided forest bathing, whilst when it's guided, you probably get the most out of it. Group things aren't exactly what everyone wants to do. Some people find that the activities or the invitations, as we call them, are a little bit outside of their comfort zone. And for some people, if there's a whole group of people doing it, they feel more comfortable. For other people, just going and doing it in a quietly by yourself in a woodland that you're familiar with is a smaller step outside of your comfort zone. So I try and balance both. And when I talk more in a moment about how I got into this line of work, it was through supporting people to help themselves. So that's half of what I do. I have a background in working with drug users. And a couple of years ago, I ended up trying to develop ways of working with people in recovery through nature connection, and was ultimately asked if I'd like to apply for a job as the recovery through nature lead in a residential rehab for people with drug and alcohol problems. So that's now what I do most of my time.
I find that so inspiring that someone has seen the benefits of people being in nature. And I'd love to talk more about that, almost medical, if we could call it that, use of nature.
Forest bathing as an activity started in Japan in about 1982. In Japan, they call it Shinrin-yoku, and that translates roughly into English as immersing yourself in the forest atmosphere. That's why they call it forest bathing. It's a sensory immersion, and it started really as a response to rapid urbanisation, technological development, and a massive increase in work-related stress. And it was conceived of by the head of the Japanese Forestry Agency, who wanted to harness the natural resources that Japan has. Japan is quite heavily forested. It's about 70% forestry cover. And also Japan's got quite a spiritual nature connection culture. So both Shinto and Buddhism have very strong nature connection elements. And so the idea behind forest bathing was kind of twofold. The first part was to encourage and enable people to benefit from just being out in nature. And the second part was a hope that if people went into nature and they discovered the benefits, they would become better environmental stewards. A concept, really, that was probably 40 years ahead of its time. But what we do know now is that on the whole, the more connected people feel with nature, the more pro-environmental behaviours they engage in.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They're like much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
What a Wonderful World by the incomparable Louis Armstrong. You're listening to There's a Walk for That here on UK Health Radio. My name is Harriet Thomas, and this is the show where we explore all things walking, mental, physical, and spiritual. Today's guest is forest bathing guide and forest therapist Hugh Asher. And if you're wondering how the science-backed and decidedly modern practice of forest bathing is different from your regular Sunday walk in the woods, then stay tuned.
It's interesting that forest bathing is really a relatively modern concept, although I'm sure there probably were versions of it, as you say, in different traditions. But I think a lot of people might think of forest bathing as being some kind of ancient thing. And so it's wonderful to think of it as it's a very modern response to, as you say, this growing urbanisation and the stress that is accompanied with that.
One of the interesting things is Japan, both Japan and South Korea have a very strong belief in the benefits, and both countries have university departments of forest medicine. So these are purely looking at the benefits of forests in particular, but also of connecting with nature. So by connecting with nature, we tend to mean engaging with with the natural surroundings through all our senses rather than just being in nature, which and being outside is certainly helpful and beneficial to us. But the evidence is that mindful connection with nature is the most beneficial.
So there's a difference between, for example, going for a walk in a wood and going with the intention of forest bathing.
Absolutely. And I do both and I enjoy both. The difference I would usually describe as being down to purpose and pace. A forest bathing walk is usually quite slow, or slow with a lot of stops and pauses. And it's often explained as or contrasted by saying, usually when you go forest bathing, you have a non-geographic goal. So usually if you go for a walk, you intend to maybe walk to the top of the hill and back, or to walk around a lake, or to walk the dog. In nature connection and forest bathing, it's more about having a goal of achieving a state of mind. So it's about walking slowly, stopping frequently, perhaps sitting, actively engaging and connecting with nature. So by this, we mean stopping and noticing what moss is like, touching it, looking at different trees and exploring the bark, maybe with both your eyes and your hands. Quite often we'll walk through a wood and it's as if it's just a homogeneous lot of trees. And certainly in a native woodland, you'll get different trees, but we don't always actively notice the different kinds of bark, the different kind of leaves, whether something has needles. And so it's really about paying attention to your senses and what you notice, and trying to explore things that you might not usually notice. And what we quite often do when we are walking, particularly if we're walking somewhere where we're very familiar, is to what I call stay in your head, or get in your head, which is where you are outside in nature, but your focus is very internal. So what am I going to make for tea tonight? Why was such and such so rude to me at work this morning? We think about these things. Whereas if we are more mindful and notice what's going on around us, we tend to get more benefits. And the benefits that have been demonstrated really are certainly that nature connection lowers stress, it reduces anxiety, it reduces depression, it improves emotional regulation. So our ability to regulate and control our own behaviours. The more detailed and more recent scientific stuff has demonstrated that certainly being out in woodlands tends to increase our immune functioning. And it does this really in two ways. One is that when we're stressed, when we're anxious, our bodies release a lot of cortisol, which is the stress hormone. And it's not particularly good for us, and it tends to reduce immune functioning. So you often find that if you're very anxious, if you're very stressed, you're more susceptible to becoming ill.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. And today, my guest is forest bathing guide and forest therapist, Hugh Asher. It's safe to say that I have learned a lot from talking to Hugh. Like, did you know that walking slowly in the woods, breathing in phytoncides, and perhaps feeling the texture of bark can boost your immune system and even ease your arthritis? Here, Hugh explains all.
But also trees, particularly evergreen trees and certain broadleaf trees like oak trees, produce what are called phytoncides, which are volatile chemicals. And by volatile, we mean that they're airborne and they evaporate easily rather than they're angry and prone to emotional outbursts. And these are some of the ways that trees can communicate with each other, and they also can serve other functions. So certain trees are able to release phytoncides that attract wasps when they are invaded by wood-boring beetles. So they give off a smell that attracts the wasps come and eat the beetles. But it could also be about trees communicating with each other about other dangers and things. But what we find is that humans inhaling them show stronger immune functioning, better, higher levels of white blood cells, and what are sometimes called NK, or natural killer cells, which are the cells in your blood which fight infection, fight tumours, things like this. So that those are some of the benefits that have been highlighted. So in part, how I got to where I am now is that I initially trained as a forest bathing guide, which is sort of delivering the basic nature connection activities, generally to the general public and people not experiencing particular mental or physical problems. Forest bathing itself is often seen as more of what we call a salutogenic approach, which is about focusing on things that keep us healthy rather than things which make us ill. So it's more about trying to maintain good health rather than respond to poor health. Some practitioners, some organizations see forest bathing and forest therapy as the same thing. Others tend to split them. My perspective tends to be that forest bathing is this salutogenic approach. It's about maintaining good health, whereas forest therapy is about applying the same techniques, but to specific groups of people with specific health needs. So one of the things I did a number of years ago was working with people with arthritis. So arthritis is often exacerbated by stress. And so cortisol is a factor in making arthritis worse. So Nature Connection activities which positively impact on cortisol levels tend to have a good effect on people with arthritis.
From this hole she comes home.
That was The Stone Roses with Waterfall. Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. My guest today is forest bathing guide and forest therapist Hugh Asher. Now, when I think about forest bathing, I think about finding a comfy log in the middle of a wood and sitting down to listen to the birds. So I was amazed when Hugh told me that he takes forest bathing and nature connection into prisons. Hugh's innovative work has won him the 2024 RSPB Nature of Scotland Health and Wellbeing Award. So stay with us and find out how he does it.
I tended to work more in the early days with people experiencing mental health problems, so more debilitating levels of stress and anxiety and things. And so both with that client group and with just general people coming on forest bathing walks, the things that they talked about were reduced stress, reduced anxiety, better emotional regulation. And one day I just had a penny dropping moment going back to sort of my previous role working with people in recovery from drug and alcohol problems. And I thought, these are some of the big risk factors for problematic drug and alcohol use in the first place, but also they're massive risk factors for relapse. So I started looking into it and discovered that I certainly wasn't the first person to connect these two, but there wasn't a lot of information about it. There wasn't a lot of resources, and there wasn't a lot of evidence of it being applied in practice. And my background working with drug users was actually working with drug users in prisons. And I got, about 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to deliver a nature-based pilot and was able to do it in my local prison. I kind of thought that if I can deliver nature-based activities in a prison, I can deliver them anywhere.
So how did that work in practical terms, in terms of the prisoners accessing nature?
So the prison, it was a specific wing. So it was the recovery wing in my local prison. And straight off the wing was a courtyard with raised beds, and it had a log cabin in it and a polytunnel. And so it was about an hour to an hour and a half each session, and there were 12 sessions, and they were split fairly much into three parts. So the first part, we went out into the yard and engaged with nature. We would focus on each sense in turn, so we would notice the things that we could see. Quite often it was clouds above us, or things growing in the raised beds, or watching insects with magnifying glasses. We would close our eyes for a little while and focus on the things in the sounds in nature that we could hear. We would explore textures that were in the garden, or I would bring things in with me that we could explore, so pine cones, things like that. So that was about a third of each session. And then we spent some time looking at nature-based relapse prevention practices. So the concept of mindfulness, the concept of nature connection, and how nature connection can be used to cope with cravings and things. So a craving is where somebody usually is triggered by something to make them start craving drugs or alcohol. And it tends to be a time-limited experience. If you can ride the wave, as it were, of the craving, it does tend to dissipate. And the more you can think of something other than focusing on the craving, the quicker it tends to go.
Because I'm interested in how receptive the prisoners were to the activities that you were introducing them to.
On the whole, quite receptive. Most of them participated fairly fully in the activities. They could understand how it could be applied to their recovery and to avoiding relapse. Some of it was about trying to create a calming mental image, somewhere mentally that people could go to whilst they were in the prison, that that would be relaxing and beneficial. And so to do this, this was where the third part of the sessions came in. For each week, I created an audio-visual resource. So it was a DVD that lasted about 12 to 15 minutes, and it had 20 to 30 second snippets of mountains, woods, waterfalls, the sea, interspersed with people actually engaging with them. So you would have waves crashing on the shore, and then somebody paddling in the sea, a waterfall, and then somebody dipping their fingers into the waterfall, people experiencing the texture of bark with their hands, exploring moss, things like that.
And so that would help them create something that they could then use in visualization at a later date. Is that the idea?
Yeah, yes. So yeah. What you often find if you're not in a prison and you engage in nature connection activities is that you will often find certain environments particularly conducive to relaxation. I particularly like running water and waterfalls, particularly if they're in the middle of a forest. And I've experienced enough of this that I can see them in my mind's eye and take myself back to places that I've previously been. One of the problems with being incarcerated is that you lack this, and prisoners are probably amongst the most nature-deprived people in our communities. So I was trying to look at some way of getting over this.
That's fascinating. So it's almost like they're virtually forest bathing or virtually connecting with nature.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that has the same or similar impact on the nervous system as if you were really outside in a wood or a forest.
Yeah, and the other benefit was that quite a lot of, or some of the benefit comes from sounds. So there's increasing evidence that people who experience attention deficit hyperactivity disorder can find that their attention is grounded by things like white noise. So white noise is random noise across the full spectrum of sound. A waterfall is similar, but is more natural and also tends to be more sort of mid-tones and bassy. So, and some people who experience rumination, which is really negative thoughts going round and round and round in your head.
Spirals, thoughts, yeah. Yes, I think we all have experienced those, yeah.
That the sound of water can be something that disrupts patterns of rumination. And so one of the things that I was really pleased that I was able to do was to leave the DVD resources behind each week. So the wing created a library of these Nature Connection DVDs, but also I made a couple of specific ones that were more auditory than visual, or just focused on water sounds. Mm. So that people who did have attention deficit hyperactivity disorder had sort of an hour of audio resources that could be used if they were.
That sounds amazing, because it seems like such a simple, doable thing that can make such a difference. It's amazing, because I don't think we would normally think about bringing forest bathing into a prison, because the two do not match, but you prove that there are ways to bring that experience into a prison, which I think is really wonderful.
Thank you.
And you got an award for it as well, didn't you?
Yes. I was nominated for the RSPB Nature of Scotland Awards in 2024, and was the winner of the health and wellbeing category.
Congratulations. I mean, it sounds like an initiative that should be more widely known about and more widely used, I think.
Thank you, Enya. 4 minutes of Orinoco Flow is definitely helping to get me into a relaxed state of mind. Welcome back to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. I'm in conversation with forest bathing guide and forest therapist Hugh Asher. Now, we're very used to the idea that emotional challenges should be addressed through talking therapies. But Hugh's work shows how nature connection can be an effective way to regulate emotions and cravings. And sometimes a good old-fashioned walk can be more effective than a face-to-face talk.
And in fact, one of the things I love about the way I can work is it often is more effective with men than more traditional talking therapies. So I have a slight advantage in that I'm very familiar with the people in the rehab. I'm alongside them, you know, eight or 10 hours a day. I notice when people have a blip that lasts 24 hours. I notice when people have a blip that lasts 72 hours. And I'm quite inclined to say to people, you know, you don't seem to have been yourself for a couple of days. Do you want to come out just for a walk in the woods? And then what I usually do, we're very fortunate in that on the other side of the road to the rehab, we have a small woodland. And as we cross the road, I say to them, if you want to talk, you can talk. If you don't want to talk, you don't need to talk. You know, I'm not going to force you to talk. And sometimes we'll walk for 20 minutes or half an hour and not say anything. We get back and people say, oh, that was really good. It's made me feel much better. But sometimes you will get people who will start talking and they'll tell you things that they wouldn't have told you in a more formal environment. And this is really the standout thing. If I moved the same conversation to an indoor one-to-one room, it would be much more likely to be, you know, so we'll sit here quietly until one of us feels so uncomfortable that we decide to give up. Because you're not looking at each other and just walking outside, it can be dramatically more effective.
I feel like that is an idea that all of us can use, you know, whether it's a conversation with a colleague or a child or a friend or a partner or whatever. You know, that idea, I love that idea of just being able to say, you know, you don't seem like yourself. So you're not actually saying what is wrong. You're just saying you don't seem like yourself. So it's quite sort of open-ended, isn't it? Let's go for a walk. And there's no pressure there. And I think that's something that we can all think about doing, maybe if we see someone that we know who perhaps isn't at their best.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. You're listening to There's a Walk for That with me, Harriet Thomas. Every week, I explore a theme connected with walking. And this week, I've been in conversation with forest bathing guide and forest therapist, Hugh Asher. And if you're wishing that Hugh lived around the corner from you so that he could take you on an immune-boosting, stress-busting forest bathe, Hugh has provided the next best thing, a brilliant website full of resources that you can use to delve into forest bathing and nature connection.
I wanted to ask you about your website and resources that you have on your website, because you've got a massive amount of resources and they're all very enticing. You've got lovely books and essential oils, you've got things about mythology, and you've got these invitations. So can you tell me a little bit about those resources? When I first started to hear about forest bathing, one of the things that stopped me from doing it was I couldn't find anyone leading forest bathing sessions in my area. But I'm sure lots of people listening who'll be in the same situation, they'll be like, well, I don't have anyone who does forest bathing near me. So how can I use the concepts myself? How can I do it myself?
How I ended up with creating these resources, it is almost part of the core narrative of how I ended up doing this. From the outset, my approach had always been helping people to help themselves rather than being a facilitator rather than being a guide. And that was really how it began, and I've just continued to write these things. So I've written books of nature connection invitations, as we might call them. I've written books on using nature as a pathway to improved mental and emotional well-being. I've applied it to recovery through nature. One of the really interesting things that I reflected on when I was training to be a forest bathing guide is, whilst it originates as Shinrin Yoku, forest bathing was brought to the West really in the early to mid 90s by a man called Amos Clifford, who lived in California and Arizona. And he really developed what we might call the Western forest bathing model. You see the same model across the world. The big difference really between delivery in the UK and delivery in North America, in Australia, in New Zealand, places like that, is that usually after the forest bathing guide has explained what's going to happen, there's usually a recognition of the cultural history of the area. So whose ancestral lands they are. But I reflected on it and became very interested really in Celtic nature connection. So looking at how the Celts would have interacted with their environment. And so probably one of my favourite books is my most recent one, which is Celtic inspired nature connection practices. So that it's probably the most spiritual of the the books.
I did want to ask, actually, about your essential oils, because I noticed you've got those essential oils that are all to do with trees. Can you talk a little bit about those?
Yeah, so this really goes back to the phytoncides that I was talking about. Got to confess, I had always been somewhat sceptical about aromatherapy. Then, when I was learning to be a forest bathing guide, we talked about phytoncides. We talked about how the smell and the chemicals released by the essential oils naturally occurring in trees, how they are beneficial to us. And there was all this scientific basis to it, you know, that said it relaxes us, it improves our immune function. And then I suddenly thought, that's just aromatherapy, isn't it? So lots of people don't necessarily live where they can get out into a pine forest easily. And also there are different times of year when, you know, you might not get out as much. Or, you know, over winter, we probably need that kind of immune boost. The easiest way to facilitate the benefits that phytoncides can bring is just to sell them in their most concentrated form, which is essential oils, which are just the tree oils having been distilled. Certainly the best option is to go out into a pine forest and walk slowly and inhale what's naturally there. But as an alternative, you know, if we can bring them indoors and diffuse them, they're beneficial.
For people who might like to come and have a look at your extensive and very interesting collection of tools, I suppose, to help people connect with nature and to help people do their own forest bathing, what is the name of your website?
So it's Forest Healing. So it's www.forest-healing.co.uk. And there's a link to the store. So there's articles on taking yourself forest bathing.
You know, I hope that people listening to this conversation will, you know, that you know, you've given them so many ideas, but also so many reasons. You know, people are very concerned about stress. They're also very concerned about their immune system. They're also concerned about arthritis and so many other modern diseases. And here we are with this, you know, science-based solution. May not obviously be the solution to everything, but certainly is a way that we can decrease our stress, and the thoughtful way in which you've made that available, not just in the outside nature world, you know, I think is, it's a new thing to me. I don't think I've really heard anyone who's managed to bring the nature connection into indoor life in such interesting ways.
Thank you
so much for coming on the show and talking about your work. It's been absolutely fascinating.
Thank you for inviting me.
That's all for this week on There's a Walk for That. It's time for me to head out for a wander around the little wood opposite my house. Until next week, happy walking.